The Ramen Noodle is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network over at noodle.mx and is sponsored by me and my company. If you don't know by now what I can do for you through djosephdesign.com, then you're really missing out, because I could do cool stuff for you, like podcast cover art. I can design a blog for you, website design, presentation design, all sorts of cool design and new media services. Check it out over at Noodle. No, that's the site. Check it out over at djosephdesign.com. View my portfolio and see how I can make your message look great. And then come back here to noodle.mx and subscribe to all of our shows, all of our shows, all of our shows, because we are funny, funny, funny. The Ramen Noodle is also brought to you by
Got a Nose for Crime? Think you can smell the difference between illegal drugs and lakeside plant life? Apply with your local police department to become a human canine officer today. Paid for by the Podcast Safety Board.
It's time for The Ramen Noodle, episode 52. The pants were irrelevant. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I have a beautiful wife. Welcome back to another episode of The Ramen Noodle, seasoning packets of comedy to flavor your day. I'm your host, Daniel Lewis, primarily known, though, to you as The Ramen Noodle.
With a lowercase t.
Yeah, not with a capital T, with a lowercase t. It is always a lowercase t. And joining me, I'm not sure if he's live, but joining me in the studio is the undead, beautiful co-host. No, the unbeautiful, undead co-host and co-sponsor, Jeremy, also known as Fleagon.
With a capital P.
That rhymes with T. That stands for tool.
What? Excuse me?
Haven't you ever seen Music Man?
What?
It's like, oh, we got trouble right here in River City. With a capital P, that rhymes with T. With a capital T, that rhymes with P. That stands for pool. That stands for pool.
Anyway, you've never seen that? No. And I think you gave me an unintentional backhanded insult.
I did? I'll give you a front-handed one. Oh, okay. Next time. This is the podcast, the clean comedy podcast, where you come to hopefully laugh. If you're not laughing, then tell someone else to come and they'll laugh for you and do the laughing for you. Hey, we've got a chat room every night, and right now they're all LOLing or drowning in the chat room. I can't tell if they're drowning or LOLing in the chat room. And we do this live on Monday nights at 7 Eastern time. That's the new time, 7 Eastern, on noodle.mx/live or theramennoodle.com/live or any of our other domains that we use for the podcast /live. They all go to the same place. All drains lead to the ocean. So you can join us and you can be one of the awesome people in the chat room. We've got F code and we've got,
wow,
we've got Alien Bunt and oh wait, that's Alan Bunt. I was thinking, well, you know,
what's your name, Alien? Oh, it's Alan. I'm sorry.
I saw the LL and I thought it was LI.
Well, when you said it, I looked at it and I thought the same thing.
I was thinking, you know, like in baseball, when you bunt the ball, you do that little thing. I was thinking, how do you bunt an alien? Maybe it's, I don't know, it's podcast or something.
Oh, and it's AFK-O'd, not yeah, what I you said that sounded like you
and
swore.
And we got Jenny Bug in there and Navrothin and Oif was one and Fleon and the, oh, that's me. I mean, the Ramen Noodle, that's me. But we got some cool people in the chat room, a couple of anonymous.
I was going to say, you forgot a non-2144.
Yeah. Good to see you, non-2144. They've been hanging out for a while. Yeah. We love you. We love everybody. If you want us to love you, you can also join us Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time. when we record this live. Otherwise, you can catch the podcast afterward. And
when we record it, dead.
Whoa. What if people are listening to this after we're dead?
Wow. Then our stupid sides are immortalized.
Is that good?
I don't know.
But anyway, let's get on to things that we do know. Funny stuff that's happened within this last week.
Dude,
or so.
Yeah. Things we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So like the other. No.
No.
I finally, it is at the time of this recording, it is October 25. And I finally covered my pool. I haven't finished closing it yet, but I've covered it.
So it's still open.
If you want to go swimming, you're fine to go swimming in the pump.
In the pump.
And the filter, because that's all I haven't closed yet.
I'm afraid of machines that deal with water. Don't tell me to go and get in the pump.
Some people may remember that last year I went on a little rant about this really expensive safety cover that I had to get for the pool. And it's definitely worth it. It's a really nice safety cover. It's so nice that you could even walk across it, as my wife can attest to. Not that she's walked across it, but you know what? That should be a story sometime. That will be a story sometime. So in the process, though, of covering the pool, it's being a safety cover. It's held very tight, or taut, or taut, whatever. It's tightly held. Or tautly held. It's held by little toddlers that stand all around the pool.
Yes, because Daniel leaves toddlers in the backyard with the pool.
Well, as long as they're not in it unsupervised, they help hold the cover on so they don't fall in.
All winter long.
With all of these little toddlers standing around the pool holding it, the pool cover has these hooks on all over it and little ribbon things that stretch across it, whatever. These hooks are spring loaded, and that's what holds it really tight, or taut, holds it tightly. Someone tell us, is it tight or taut? I can't remember. And these things were a pain to take off. I had to loosen them in order to take them off. And I was trying to figure out, how did these people that installed this cover for me get it on in the first place? They must have had some kind of big machinery or something. And so we start on one end, and we unwrap the pool cover completely across the pool. So it's sitting on top of the pool. And we hook down one side, and we're going to work our way up. Mm-hmm. And what I was doing, being the gentleman, is I would let Jenny...
Being the gentleman.
Yeah. I would let Jenny, wife Jenny, extend her side first onto a hook. And then I would be the one to stretch with all of my hard, masculine, husbandly might to pull the spring and hook it onto the toddler on my side of the pool. And we got this for maybe one or two of the springs. But then by the third one, it was really hard. And already I was thinking, these just aren't as tight as they used to be. They used to be a lot tighter than this. And so why is it that we can't get them tight like they're supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And we've worked and worked and worked, and we're both getting frustrated at it. So I decide, well, maybe I should go read the directions. And I read the directions and discover that there's this tool they left, which I was always trying to figure out, what was this tool thing for? It's really simple. You just put it down on the toddler's head, and then you just crank it back like a crank in a train or something. And the hook just slides right down and hooks onto the toddler's neck and really well. And
You should probably leave the toddler analogy or whatever that is out of this for a bit.
Yeah, so much for Toddlers R Us sponsoring us.
Ew. Since you're talking about hooking things around their necks next to the pool, and that's really gross.
There's a song.
I'm imagining that little dancing baby from the old commercials. And
I have never seen the dancing baby.
You haven't?
Seriously, I never have. I've seen pictures of dancing baby. I've never actually seen dancing baby.
You've never seen said baby dance?
I said never. Wait.
You need to see that baby.
What's your random noodle update, Mr. Flagon?
Flagon?
Mr. Flamgon?
My random noodle update. Well, so I work. I just started off with so. Not supposed to do that.
No, strike one.
No way.
And don't end with so either. That one really gets on my nerves.
So. Okay. The group that I work with, our mascot is a giant nerd. Sometimes he's small, but his name is Niles. There are little squishy ones that you can squeeze in your hand when you're mad. But in this case, there's a 10-foot tall inflatable Niles the nerd.
And you can squish him too when you get mad.
Well,
or do you go up and give him hugs when you're sad?
You have to jump on him when he's being taken down to get the air out.
The face is a very popular place for people to step on it and squash it and everything.
We had a conference and my colleagues were in town, and there was this outside the hotel where we had the conference. There was Niles the nerd standing there. And on the last day I had my picture taken with him, and no sooner had the picture been taken before I even stepped away, Niles did a face plant on the sidewalk, or on the grass next to the sidewalk. He just fell face forward, smashed his giant face in the grass.
Face in the grass? Oh, sorry. I was supposed to let those lie.
Yeah, that's right. Let the pants on the ground lie. Yeah. So I was the last one to be seen with Niles alive in Cincinnati.
Did the police investigate you because you were the witness?
No, we deflated him and rolled him up quickly and put him in the bag.
Did you put him in a trunk too?
Yes, actually.
All right. Who's been smoking pot and who's got the dead body in the trunk? Officer, that would be me. I mean, not the pot part, but yeah, I put the body in the trunk. It's all deflated.
Body in the trunk? Body in the trunk.
We're like spiders. We suck the juice out. Leave just the shell.
Oh my gosh. So there will be pictures for the show notes of Niles alive and Niles dead. So that's my story of me and the giant nerd.
Oh. So the sequel to this will be like Niles Forever 2.
Revenge of the Niles.
The Niles.
The Niles River.
Hey, you know, we got some feedback. Some voicemail.
Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring, hello. Ring, ring.
You have a bad connection.
And this voicemail actually has its own theme song too. So here we go with another segue.
Evil face.
Sideways.
Future evil
Flagon. Sideways. Future
evil Flagon.
Sideways. Future
evil Flagon.
Sideways. Future evil
Flagon. Flagon.
Turtle power.
And here's what evil Flagon from the sideways future alternate. From wherever he is in his happy place.
From his evilness.
Yes. Here's what he had to say.
I feel pretty.
Oh, so
pretty.
I feel pretty and witty
and bright.
And I pity
any girl
who isn't me
tonight.
I feel charming.
Oh, so
charming.
It's alarming how
charming I feel,
and so pretty,
that I hardly can believe I'm real.
See the pretty girl
in that mirror
there.
Who can that attractive girl be?
Such a pretty face,
such a pretty
dress, such a pretty smile, such a
pretty me.
I feel
stunning
and entrancing.
feel like running and dancing
for joy.
For I'm loved
by a pretty wonderful boy.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. So, at dinner, there was a salad dressing called Green Goddess. And since dinner, Jenny has been telling me that I'm starting to turn into a Green Goddess.
Well, now we know.
I think it's actually Evil Flegon who is turning into the Green Goddess.
Apparently, you do in the alternate future, whatever.
Sideways evil future.
Yes, you are a Green Goddess. But apparently,
but
a very pretty Green Goddess.
At least in my own eyes. Unlike his own eyes.
Unlike Clipto.
Her own eyes.
From Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think it was Calypso.
Calypso, yeah, Calypso.
Clipto is very close to Klepto, which might mean she's a thief.
Oh. Yeah. Winnie in the chat room said, wait, he's a girl? Yeah, he is, apparently, maybe.
Or he's just been hit on the head, or the sideways future evil timeline is collapsing and everything's getting confused.
Yeah, maybe, but there's a little clue in here.
His mom's confused.
And even people need to listen very closely because there's a little clue in here to something.
Really?
Yeah, you have to listen very closely.
You're not going to play it again, are you?
I'm going to play just the end.
Okay.
Did you hear that? The little beeping in there?
That's it sounded, a time machine. Oh, it sounded like part of the theme. I say theme. The opening of Lost.
Well, not that, but the
I know. It sounded like the end of, you know, the part you're always making fun of. The Lost logo comes at you and it's making all those little noises in the background. And yeah.
Yeah. All of that stuff.
How is that a clue?
I don't know. It's
time machine.
It's a clue.
It's a time machine for babies.
Just maybe for little toddlers. For pool cover holding toddlers. It's a time machine for them. Because they got to go somewhere, you know.
And or come from somewhere.
Since they may not have a goasis out there. Wherever they're from. Then they have to have somewhere to go. So why not go somewhere with that?
I think we should stick to picking on puppies.
Maybe we should. But we don't have puppies at the moment to pick on. But we need to get puppies.
Peter Piper picked a peck of puppies. Pickled puppies. He did.
How many pickled puppies did Peter Piper pick? Oh, boy. Now, you know what it's time for?
No.
Since we're like getting back into the swing of the regular show, it's time for another regular segment.
And now it's time for the weekly noodleism, the part of the show where the ramen noodle takes a common figure of speech and noodles it.
Wow.
Don't you feel so happy?
And now it's time for the part of the show where we play a little bumper that is a direct ripoff of something else.
I should add, you record the bumper. Actually, no, that was that bumper comes courtesy of John Wilkerson, the late Jesus geek.
Oh, the late John Wilkerson.
No. John Wilkerson, the late Jesus geek.
Right. I noticed his Twitter handle
late,
had changed.
The Jesus geek. Yeah, he's now Jay Wilkers. On Twitter.
Jay yeah, Wilkers.
Because the Jesus geek is gone. It's dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The original Jesus geek, that is. Or the other Jesus geek. And no, not John Wilkerson Booth. Or Wilkes.
Wilkerson Booth.
I always think that when I see his name.
John Wilkerson Booth.
Yeah, he's got a booth at the local fair. Now, you'd suggested this noodleism. I'm not sure. Do you have something to add to it, too?
I suggested several. Let me see which one you've picked. Oh, yes, this one.
Bullet points.
Yes. Well, obviously, bullet points in an outline, for example, are just sentences that are kind of related, not necessarily connected. It's a good way of showing a list, and you've got the little round bullet points next to them. Well, what if bullet points are actually points you make in your report that really kind of deserve a bullet? Or what if a bullet point is like the point caused on the back of something metal that's been shot by a bullet?
Whoa.
So I think those are the things you should think of when you think of bullet points.
I think it's the point in a document, such as a legal document, mm-hmm. at which point when the reader gets to that point, they should suddenly be shot.
When the reader, so just by reading this document.
They will be shot. You've heard of pop-up paper.
Or if they're pop-up fast books. Enough and they read it and they realize it's a bullet point, they duck and they're okay. It adds some excitement, a level of realism to the story. They're reading a spy novel and they realize they've hit a bullet point, so they duck or they die. I mean,
yeah, duck or die.
That, you know, like people like adventure and excitement. And if they can get that from a book with bullet points, I think it would sell.
Yeah. Well, you know what else, though? Is
what else?
How you can amplify the destructive abilities of said bullet points. Put them in a PowerPoint presentation.
A gasp goes out over the crowd.
No.
Not a bullet point. Death by PowerPoint.
Yeah, death by bullet point.
We all know endless lists of bullet points in PowerPoint. Not a good thing. What if it actually shot you?
Every time you bring up a new bullet point in your presentation,
one someone... person in the audience gets shot.
Yeah.
Boom! Shot.
What?
Boom! Shot.
Wow.
Boom, headshot.
Oh. So yeah, I mean, if you knew that someone in your audience was going to die every time you used a bullet point, you'd use them more judiciously, wouldn't you?
It depends on the audience.
I mean, still use them.
It depends on the audience.
It does depend on the audience. Yeah. When there starts to be booing, you can be like, let me revise my notes a little bit here.
You, sir, the one that's cutting up, please pay close attention to the next slide. Boom!
This is such... this is such a, like, violent show tonight. It's kind of disturbing, actually.
So next time you see a bullet point or hear someone talking about bullet points.
Duck!
Yeah, because it's, what did you say? It was the duck or die. Yeah, it's the duck or die syndrome, like the fight or flight response, the duck or die response. You either duck or you die. And Winnie says, now I feel scared of going to class. Yes, Winnie.
Be afraid. Scared. Be very afraid.
Dude, you're talking over my scary voice.
I know. I'm trying to superimpose afraid over scared because, anyway. So, yeah.
You know what?
So.
Die. Let me show you this little PowerPoint presentation.
Just start typing bullet points into the show notes.
I have only one bullet point in this, actually. There. I just bullet pointed someone in the chat room.
Did you?
Yes. But you know what? Speaking of bullet points.
What?
I want to tell you about the intellectual bean.
Okay.
They're our miniature sponsor for this week.
From fakesponsors.com?
No, from realsponsors.com.
Oh.
The intellectual bean is a collection of short, humorous commentary on news and events from September 2009 through August 2010. It's a little project that was a member of mymorningjoe.com. That's the blog where the author is from. And he put together this little book called The Intellectual Bean. So you can check this out at the address. It's really hard to get to, so use this bit.ly link instead, or the link will be in the show notes. The bit.ly link is bit.ly/theintellectualbean. That's bit.ly/theintellectualbean, or the link will be in the show notes over at theramenoodle.com/52. So check it out. He's got the book there available for purchase and at a price, and he gives his very unique perspective. He says, this book is a witty window into the stories that have passed and gives the reader the ability not only to see when a story was first written on, but it also brings each story full circle by giving the reader the landmarks and how the story ends. So if you want that, check it out. bit.ly/theintellectualbean.
It'll be in a bullet point under sponsors.
Yes. Read that bullet point very, very carefully. Like slowly.
Because we want you shot is what he's basically saying.
Because we care.
Because we care.
Well, you know what? We forgot some things from our story last week.
No way.
What happened?
Oh boy, this is going to be good. I can tell.
Yeah, because you didn't say anything in your female voice last week.
Did you even pull that joke last week?
I don't know if I got a chance. I can't remember.
I was thinking.
Or did Jenny do it for me?
Oh, that's right. She did. Yeah. Yeah, we had to go to marital counseling for that afterwards. But there have been a couple other things that we've remembered that we forgot to share last time. And we'll start off with you, Jeremy.
All right.
By the way, are you going to give the context?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because it is the morning of the wedding.
My wedding.
Your wedding. Your wedding to Jenny.
Yes.
To wife Jenny.
Yes.
Who was fiance Jenny at the time.
Yes.
And you were still the ramen noodle.
Yes. I am still the ramen noodle.
Okay. So we knew, we being me and the groomsman that we were calling Joel.
Okay. Yeah.
We knew we should not be late, but we got up a little later than we should have. So we rushed a bit, and we rushed, and we did quite well, especially staying with a couple who lived only about 4 minutes away from where the wedding was being held. And we get there, and we're around for a little bit, and suddenly Joel realizes, hey, I forgot my belt. So, and you were nowhere to be seen.
Did he notice this like before or after his pants were falling down on the ground? Pants on the ground, pants on the ground.
Thankfully, his pants didn't end up on the ground and it wasn't that crucial.
It wasn't that crucial.
It wasn't that crucial that his
stay
pants
off the ground.
End up on the ground or stay up. It really, his pants were irrelevant. No, they were quite relevant and they were quite in place and that's a good thing for everyone. So... we decided, since the house was so close, that we would rush back and get it because we thought, well, the groomsmen should probably all be wearing belts. We get back and we realize that the people we were staying with were not there and that along with the belt, he had also forgotten the key. And so we tried to call and the number we had for them didn't work. And so we just went back to the wedding site. And he was beltless. I don't know if you noticed, but he was beltless for the entire ceremony.
Is that why he was holding his pants the entire time?
No. No, if you thought he was holding his pants, that's in my next part of the story.
That sounds scary. You better move on quickly.
Okay. Well, I suggested that we all just leave our cell phones elsewhere during the ceremony. And, I was going to add that we actually made it back to the wedding site. We had come and gone and come back before you ever got there because you were waiting for the pictures with the girls to be done and you were hiding somewhere.
Yeah, they texted me and they told me, don't come yet.
Yeah.
So I had no other choice but to let my brother treat me to breakfast.
Oh, well, that's a tough choice.
Which was a smoothie.
Oh.
Since I hadn't eaten anything.
So yeah, we were all worried about being late, but we got there and left again and came back all before you even got there. So
whoa.
I was kind of impressed.
That's impressive. Did you have a police escort?
No, not that time. So the comment about the hand. I come to find out after the ceremony that Joel had decided to record the entire thing from his vantage point as groomsman with his iPhone 4. And he had it discreetly in one of his hands. And apparently, since he wasn't looking at it the entire time, the aim was off a little bit. And I was standing in front of him. And so I'm not sure about the quality of this video.
Uh-oh. Is it like a video of Daniel's or audio of Daniel's wedding, video of Jeremy's butt?
Pretty much in places, I have a feeling, because he was going through it to see how it came out. And yeah, I was like, and he's like, guess who that is? But I didn't know any of this because my back was to him. What was in front of me was the sun. The sun had come up. Obviously, this was an outdoor wedding or it wouldn't matter. And it was right in our eyes. And I was trying to keep a pleasant look on my face. But at certain moments, all I wanted to do was close my eyes. It started to hurt so bad sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I probably made some pretty horrible faces. Trying to keep smiling, trying to keep my eyes open.
And here I thought you were just disgusted by the romance.
No, that wasn't what the look was. The look was, oh, I just want to relax my face, but I'm trying to keep my eyes open and it's making me do terrible things. And afterward, Jenny's mom says to me, we talked about the sun, she goes, I looked at you and I thought, he has a fake smile. But then I realized it was just the sun. I was like, oh, I looked like I had a fake smile. Well, at least I didn't close my eyes and frown because it was a sacrifice for you guys. I endured the sun. I endured the surface of the sun on my face for you.
Very nice. I noticed the video camera.
Did you?
Yeah. The iPhone there. Because at some point I saw it and it was, I think, when I turned slightly to listen to my dad speak. And I saw the iPhone there and I tried to kind of see if Joel made eye contact with me and just give him a little wink or funny expression or something like, seriously? So, my plan, though, was to take the audio from... I brought my portable audio recorder and connected it to the microphones and then take that and my brother's video camera, which is high definition. He had placed at the back, and then Joel's video from the iPhone of your butt and piece that all together. And then we would have Daniel and Jenny's wedding
and Jeremy's butt. His aim wasn't that bad all the time. He aimed it right at me most of the time. No.
A little hard to never mind focus on.
What? What? All right, let's not explore that. There's not a good way you can go with that either direction.
Okay.
So,
on the honeymoon, we were in this really quaint town and very beautiful place. And we decided to get a horse carriage ride. And we got on this carriage and the guy's like half deaf and he's telling us certain stories about his horse and stuff as we're going around. Well, you know how motorcyclers have this little wave that they do to each other?
Yes.
Whenever they pass themselves. Not pass themselves.
Whenever they pass themselves, they know they're in a time loop and they'd better be nice to themselves.
So they wave. Because it's the thing to do.
They apparently do that cool thing where they just stick their hands out low, like, yeah. It's like, yeah. We don't need to raise our hands all the way up like the common non-motorcycle folk.
So imagine the way they do it is, imagine putting your hand by your side. Well, kind of like you're doing a Hail Hitler, but down at the ground.
Heil, since, and you don't really want to.
Oh, yeah. You know, but since he's dead, Hitler you do it down at the ground. And so you do it down and slightly turned with your thumb out. Maybe we'll find some pictures of this. Yeah, it's just a kind of downward wave. It's a very casual thing, but it's not an upward wave. It's downward. And they do it kind of down off the handlebars of their, not lawnmowers.
It's not nearly this complicated, honestly.
Yeah, they just do it.
They just stick their hands out. I don't know.
So it's like the things do for motorcycle people. Whenever like anyone is on a motorcycle and anyone else passes someone else on a motorcycle, they do that little thing. They've got some kind of little camaraderie among them, a brotherhood of motorcyclists.
And if someone does the wrong wave, they know that those people don't belong in a motorcycle and they get out their little blow darts and they just, it's all over.
Yeah. Or they stick a spider on them and they, you know, with a pair of eyes or paradox. Yeah, paradox or paralyzed. So we are riding in this carriage and we're coming back through town and there's this little motorcycle hangout place. So I was telling Jenny this whole time, I want to do this. So as we're passing by all of these motorcyclers, out by their motorcycles and hanging out, and they're all, you know, these guys with this gray, long, curly hair and leather jackets and everything. We're passing by, and I kind of, some of them are looking over, and I do the wave at them, and I'm trying to, like, act all cool and awesome, like yeah, I got my bike.
It only took them about 2 minutes to go by in this carriage. Is that the sound that it made?
The squeaky wheel.
Oh,
gets the grease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they throw grease on you?
No, they didn't. They threw it on the horse because the horse was squeaking like a wheel.
Apparently. The horse an android?
Clip flop. No. And two guys saw me doing it, and one of them just waved normal wave at me, and the other guy, I think, well, they both smiled at it, but one of the other guys, like, chuckled, like he realized the irony of it. he smiled real big.
Well, at least he appreciated. That is kind of hilarious.
And then they chased us.
Right, because they wouldn't be able to catch you, and you're like, giddy up!
The chase was a long, hard chase until one of them stepped onto the carriage.
And then?
And stepped aboard.
Then what?
And then it was a gruesome, brutal fight to the death.
Your death?
No, the horse's death.
Why is it always the poor horse?
I don't know. And why do they always beat the poor horse?
Can I add a funny random noodle update?
Sure.
Is it in any way related to this? It is.
Okay.
It is because, you know, we had the nerd conference. It's nerd because that's...
Nerdy.
Yeah. I like geek better, but, you know, the group's called Nerds on Site. So...
I think that's the first time you've named them.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, one of them emailed a picture to all the attendees of the conference because the hotel was right next to a White Castle restaurant, and the city that we were in had some horse, I almost said horseless carriages, had some horse-drawn carriages.
Headless horsemen?
That do some things. Well, the picture is of one of these carriage drivers in the drive-thru at White Castle with his horse-drawn carriage. And a couple days later, I saw him or a different one at the Burger King up the street in the drive-thru with the horses. So you guys could have gone for lunch while you were on this chase away from the bikers.
That would be fun. Pull through a drive-thru, riding a horse. I'm on a horse.
I'm on a horse. Yes.
Yeah, speaking of I'm on a horse, have you seen the parody of the Old Spice commercial?
The parody of it? No.
Yeah. You haven't seen it at all?
No.
Dude, like,
shall I stall while you look up the link?
No, because I've got the link right here. Okay. Check this out.
Hello, everybody. Oh. Look at yourself. Not back to me. Not back at yourself. Not back to me. Sadly, you are not a monster. But if you listen to Grover, you will know all about the word on, just as this monster does. Look down. Back up. Yeah. Where am I? Oh, I am on a boat. What is in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It is a clam with two tickets to that thing you love. On my nose. Anything is possible when you smell like a monster and know the word on. I am on a horse. Moo. Cow.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
My nose.
You gotta watch the video. Check it out. It'll be in the show notes at theramennoodle.com/52.
Slash your tires.
Yeah. Well, speaking of slashing things, you know who's back to slash us to bits for something?
Gosh, this is the most violent show ever. Could it be Evil Flegon?
Theramennoodle.com/your mom. No.
Oh my gosh. You really need to take that out.
It always humored.
Maybe there was too much bourbon in the bourbon chicken. Okay.
Maybe. Or not maybe. can't think. It always humors me when I hear people give domains and they run together the slash and the last part after the slash. So it's like, visit www.com or whatever, .com/. Well, they'll say whatever.com slash Jeremy. And that seems to be a new trend that I hear a lot. Well, maybe it's I'm just more attentive to it now.
Yes.
But I hear it a lot, and it really frustrates me. They'll say .com/Jeremy. It's like, oh, you want me to slash Jeremy?
Instead of .com/
already.
Jeremy.
Yeah, that's the way I say it. I'll say .com/42. Or for the most part. But anyway, check out the show notes.
42 or for the most part.
Not 42, 52. TheRamenNoodle.com/52. And like I said, speaking of slashing, it's time for our old friend to come back. Yay! The monkeys are very happy to have him back.
I'm Sergeant Packard. Welcome to Bachelor Boot Camp. Welcome back to another day of training. I hope you've suffered through your very long vacation. I don't know why they give such vacations. I've heard some very disturbing news from you sissy wagons, and I'm just so upset about it. I had to bring my brother here to really rile on you for what you have done. Here he is.
Hey, this is Sergeant Packett's brother. You can call me Sean. Listen, I've just listened to your last episode, 20 Moon. My friend, I am appalled that my brother has not taught you proper barbecue etiquette. You always clean the grates every single time before and after use. And another thing, Mr. Flegon, do your taxes. There's nothing as unpatriotic as not doing your taxes. All right, I'll still be listening, but clean your grill and do your taxes. It's the most American thing you can do. Bye.
Ah, my brother. I love him, and he's got good advice for you all. So follow it, clean your grill, do your taxes, duck, or die.
Packett family is so...
Yeah!
We didn't know Sergeant Packett had a brother, did we?
No, and like...
He's got the same attitude.
He's, yeah, maybe worse. Yeah, I did my taxes. Thank you very much. And the whole nothing more American? Well, now that is debatable.
I did clean my grill. A couple of years late.
You should clean your grill with my taxes. I don't know how that even makes any sense. It's just how I feel about the IRS, kind of.
You could send that to the IRS and say, you should take these taxes and clean your grill with them.
I don't think I'll do that.
Here's what I think of your tax code. I'm going to clean my grill with it.
Which is going to make it really hard to read when I need to follow it later.
It's got all these lines on it and weird stuff like that.
Char grilled taxes.
My favorite.
Flame kissed.
Speaking of flame kissed, it's time for us to give everyone a kiss goodnight as we head out with the podcast.
Wow.
Oh, boy. So check out the show notes and get the links to all of this stuff, the intellectual being. Watch the video for Grover and all of that over at theramenoodle.com/52. If you've just joined the podcast recently, like started listening recently, welcome. We're very glad to have you. And by the way, everyone out there needs to know this. This is very important. So listen up. Starting on November 7th are the podcast awards at podcastawards.com.
Ooh.
Here's what we need to do. We need all of you to go there at November 7th and nominate the Ramen Noodle for a comedy podcast. Now, are we going to win an award? Probably not.
But that's only because there aren't enough of you who know how wonderful we are.
Yes. So tell everybody, you know, get hundreds, thousands of listeners and get them all to nominate the Ramen Noodle for comedy podcast. And even if we don't win the award, well, it's about having a good time. No, it's about getting lots of... No, wait. it's just going to be a fun time, and it'll help the show and help publicize the show even more to be on there. And I think, depending on if some of the... certain other podcasters list themselves on there, which they probably will too. But the Ramen Noodle will probably be one of only a couple, if not the only clean comedy podcast listed on there. So if you want to support clean comedy, definitely please post us on there and nominate us on November 7th at Podcast Awards. But until then, just tell everybody to subscribe to us, leave reviews in iTunes, leave an honest review. As long as it's 5 stars, leave an honest review. Anything less than that, you can send to us at
feedback. You can put on your grill. You can clean your grill with it. Yeah.
Send us feedback to feedback@noodle.mx. That's the email address, feedback@noodle.mx. Or call in to our voicemail or listener voicemail line, 859-353-4332. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at twitter.com/theramennoodle.
/ the Ramen Noodle. I'm at twitter.com/phlegon, phlegon.
And Jeremy, any last closing thoughts?
Nope.
Okay, good. I love it when you're like that. So get the show notes. And remember, next time life makes you feel like an amateur, keep laughing because you are not the only one. Thanks for listening. And here's that theme song that we need to replace. I am so lonely. I have nobody for my own.
Oh.